This is Totally Cool Tech, the show that brings you the hottest in cool technology. No matter if it's old school or new school, high tech or low tech, it's all still cool tech. Welcome, everybody. This is a Totally Cool Tech podcast special listener edition, number 544, Mr. Gadget Says, for Tuesday, February 7th, 2012. I'm Norbert Davis, your host. On this episode, I'm going to hand it on over to Mr. Gadgets, a.k.a. Bruce Barr, a wonderful listener who's been listening for a long time and contributing to the show here and there via email mainly, and lately been doing a little bit of voicemails and things like that, if you've heard. But he has something wonderful to say, very interesting, on tablets and PCs. So I wanted to go ahead and play that for you. Let Bruce do the talking, actually. But first, I have to tell you about Totally Cool Tech. We are a proud member of the TechPodcasts.com network. If it's tech, it's here, where all our member shows produce family-friendly and work-safe podcasts. We are also part of the Blueberry.com podcast community, where podcasters and listeners come together. So go check out both of these sites. You can find some other great tech podcasts over at TechPodcasts.com, obviously, and a lot of other just anything kind of podcasts on Blueberry, any kind of specialty, any kind of niche thing you're looking for. I don't know, underwater basket weaving, zero gravity pretzel twisting. It's all there. You can really find it. It's just awesome. Go ahead and check out both of these sites for some other great podcasts. All right. Hey, also our sponsor, Mozy Pro Online Backup. It's simple, automatic, and secure backup. Now, when it comes to running a successful business, like I've said before, there are many things you have to get right, like buying good equipment, hiring good people, and of course, location, 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 right? But there's one thing that's quite often overlooked, and that's protecting the data that powers your business. Computers, servers, external hard drives, and even tape backups are vulnerable to failure and data loss. And in the U.S. alone, over 140,000 hard drives fail every single... Oh, no, it didn't fail. Mine are secure. They're backed up. Because all these things, they can fail, right? In a week, 140,000 hard drives, gone, dead. Now, if you're not backing up your business data with Mozy Pro, here are a few reasons why you should consider using Mozy Pro for your business data backup solution. Mozy Pro is easy to use, saves you time, and it costs up to 80% less than other solutions, giving you peace of mind and eliminating the hassle of backing up your data. Now, if your business is not backed up with Mozy Pro, you really need to make sure data is backed up somehow. But please, give our friends over at Mozy a call. They've been doing this for a long time and run the most secure and most trusted online backup service. Right now, you can save 15% by using promo code PODCAST15. Just call 877-669-9776. That's 877-669-9776. Or just visit mozypro.com. That's mozypro.com. All right, Mr. Bruce Barr called me up or sent me some audio the other day, and I wanted to share that with you. It's about tablets versus PCs, or, you know, is a tablet a PC? How do you count that thing, you know? We're not talking like a tablet, a laptop. We're talking like a tablet computer, you know, like an iPad, a Zoom, any of those. What are they? Are they computers really or not, you know? He goes over this, and I'll let him tell you about it, because he does a really good job. So, without further ado, Mr. Gadgets, Bruce Barr. Take it away, Bruce.
Hey, Norb. This is Bruce, Mr. Gadgets, here in Kansas City. And I was just thinking of something here. And so I don't know whether you're going to comment on this this week, but there were some interesting news this week about the whole concept of Apple being the number one computer company in the world if you included the iPad in their sales. And there's a lot of back and forth here, and a lot of people either do or don't include tablets when they talk about, you know, personal computer sales, PC sales, okay? So in some, I guess, analysts' ways of reckoning these things, they reckon that the PC is, you know, keyboard, mouse, Windows, or Mac, or to a certain teeny tiny percentage, Linux, right, running on it and all this kind of thing. And there's been a lot of debate back and forth on Tech News Today and even, since they're only weekly on Buzz Out Loud, but Tech News Today has been back and forthing. And in fact, they've had a lot of people call in and say, well, now the definition of whether it's a personal computer or not is this, right? And there's been a couple of interesting ideas about that. So in case you wanted to use this as something to talk about, I kind of wanted a little bit of a pulpit to talk, and so I thought I'd call in to you here. The thing that interests me about this is a couple of the ideas that they talked about on Tech News Today, and some of your listeners, you know, might want to chime in on this themselves. One guy proposed that it's what makes it a personal computer is, can you develop programs using that machine itself, or do you have to use something else? So his argument was Android and iOS were tablet operating systems, and you can't use the tablet itself to actually develop a program that you can run on that tablet. You have to have a, quote, real PC in order to do that. And to a certain extent, the way that some people actually develop applications, that would be true. But then later on in the week, there were other people who called in and said, well, that's not actually true because there are ways for you to do that, and they gave examples of both an Android way of doing it as well as an iOS way of doing it. And so that ceased to be. Another one of them was, can you build it yourself? Which is an interesting concept. It kind of goes back to, I have always kind of been, we had a lot of Macintoshes back in the 90s because we were an educational kind of based family, and that was back when Apple was very strong in the schools. And eventually when we moved to PCs, we have never really been oriented towards build our own PCs kind of family. My newest minted son-in-law, my youngest, got married here over the Christmas holidays, well, technically in January, they got married. And he's always been a build-your-own gamer PC type. But I have never actually built my own PC, I know there are a lot, though, that do. I'm more of a buy-the-laptop, ready-made kind of a person, and most of that has been the kind of purchases I've made. The desktops have also been, you know, made to, well, not made to order even, but, you know, prefabbed with all of the kind of, you know, functionality I wanted in them. I've done a little bit of upgrading of those over time. I always thought it was interesting, you know, when do you know that that isn't the same PC anymore? Because you've replaced so many parts in it that it really does it technically. My rule has always been, when you got enough parts in your basement or your man cave or whatever to buy a completely complete PC, then that PC that's under your desk isn't the same PC anymore, right? You've replaced all the parts. I'm actually reminded of a guy who used to do, after the initial really funny part of SNL back in the 70s, there was a kind of a doldrums era there where they had a lot of people coming in. Now, to a certain extent, some of that was very funny, and it gave us some, you know, comedians that you would recognize. Some of it was a lot of forgettable kinds of stuff. But they would have street entertainers that worked the streets of New York coming in and doing their act. One guy was a really, really dry kind of comedy act, and he was a juggler. And so he would do things like, you know, juggling a bowling ball and an egg and an apple, and, you know, disparate weights, and then he'd take bites of the apple that was in his hand. He was really good. And they had him on multiple times, and like I say, he had a really, really dry sense of humor. So there's one time he was like, I don't know if this was specifically it, but it was something along this lines. He was like doing a chainsaw, a hatchet, and a knife, you know, something just crazy like that with three different weights and three different sizes and everything, and he was juggling this. Well, at one point, right, as part of his act, he holds up the hatchet, and he says, This is the same hatchet that George Washington used to chop down the cherry tree. Had to replace, and then he points at the head. He says, the head and the shaft. It occupies the same space. Anyway, it's kind of like that, you know. When you've replaced all the parts in your PC, guess what? It's a new PC. Because you got a whole enough parts down here to build the whole other one. I'm not sure anybody is really up to building the equivalent of a tablet. There are a few places that have kind of development kit kinds of things where you can, you know, buy an LCD touchscreen and kind of use it as a development environment for a tablet interface or maybe a kiosk or things like that. But very few people on an independent basis are, you know, have the wherewithal to have the miniaturized parts that go into a tablet. Given that most of the time when those things get torn apart, whatever size they are, it tends to be mostly battery and just a teeny tiny bit of electronics around at the edge that are affecting everything, both the computer, the memory, and the touch interface, and USB, and wireless radios, and everything, or just a teeny tiny little board. It'd be hard to build that board, let alone be able to put all that together into a small space. So I think maybe building your own is kind of, I mean, could you build your laptop and shove everything into that smallest space? You probably certainly couldn't build your Ultrabook, you know, your super thin ones that are coming out, but could you build your laptop? So I'm not even sure that that is a really valid test either. What I've actually been reminded of, and I even called in, I don't know that it'll make it onto the show, but I even called in this kind of idea. Way back, and I hate to sound like, well, back in my day, we used to do this, you know. Turn your Wayback Machine back to the 1980s. In fact, the early half of the 1980s. And the IBM PC has just come out, and it's beginning to make big inroads into business. Now, personal computers had been making their way into business, and part of what made the Apple II so successful in its initial forays into kind of making pre-built and non-homebrew computers kind of practical was VisiCalc. And VisiCalc was, of course, the first real spreadsheet program, and it was really, really useful in businesses. So a lot of businesses bought Apple IIs just to have VisiCalc to help them do calculations and keep track of their books and all kinds of things like that. But then IBM sees, oh, well, maybe there's business here, and so they come out with the IBM PC. Of course, then it has the IBM moniker on it, and it is now officially a real PC, right? It has the IBM stamp on it. Well, around this time, I never had enough scratch to actually own a, you know, Apple II, but I did have a whole series of color computers from Radio Shack, right? Which would allow me to have the color screen and all those kinds of things. Kind of different, basic than Apple II, but you could do a lot of similar kinds of things on it, and it was kind of the poor man version of all these things. Well, people would all the time be asking me, well, did I own a PC? And of course, what they meant there was an IBM PC, because IBM essentially stole personal computer from what it had meant up until that time, i.e. the personal computer revolution, right, where you and I and the normal person who had enough money could own their own PC if they thought there was a reason why they wanted to own one. And this was really the revolution, was being able to have your own personal computer. Well, IBM stole that as part of their branding for their version of the personal computer, which was the PC Junior, was kind of the home version of that, but it was never really successful. I mean, the PC was really to go into those businesses. I mean, face it, IBM was not wanting to sell a whole bunch of those to people at home. It was mostly looking at getting that revenue from businesses with selling those PCs into the businesses involved and not into the home. And everybody's asking me, well, do I have a PC? Do I have a PC? I'm an old curmudgeon now, but I guess I was a young curmudgeon back then. I wasn't still in high school. I was even out of college, but I was still in my, you know, late 20s, early 30s at this time. And so I would force them to actually ask me the question that they really wanted. I would say, oh, yes, I own a personal computer, but I would kind of force them into the more uncomfortable, well, is it an IBM PC? Anyway. So this whole concept of a personal computer. Now, I think it goes back to the original thing that I talked about with the whole idea of a personal computer being something that is just that, your own computing device that is doing the things that you want a personal computing device to do and to be. The whole idea behind the way they count these things is kind of important because, like I said, some of the analysts include tablets and some of them do not in terms of how they rank who the number one computer maker is and all those types of things. Now, I think if you look at the sales figures, it will hold true that ASUS invented the netbook, right, back with that triple EPC way back when, but it wasn't that long ago, right? In technological years, it was a long time ago, but actually in calendar years, the netbook hasn't been around for all that long. And they kind of invented that whole product category. Everybody jumped on, and there were lots and lots of netbooks out there. There were specialized processors invented just for the netbook, and the Atoms kind of came into, you know, a lot of popularity in that regard. And to this day, there are still netbooks out there. And there's, you know, if you go to the store, if you look online, there's still companies out there really selling those netbooks. ASUS, Acer, even Sony had its kind of versions of them. They're maybe a little pricier than the lower cost ones. But ASUS has found that its computer ready built computer, maybe not its processor boards, right? It's CPU boards and things like that. That aspect of his business maybe has not gone down as much with the economy, but its netbook business caused it to really go down in overall sales. And they include the netbook, right, in real quote-unquote computer sales, right, because it runs a quote-unquote real operating system, unlike the tablets. I think of all the things you can say about Steve Jobs, he had a vision, and he always had a vision, and one of his visions was, no, we are not going to make a netbook PC. We are going to redefine what Microsoft has tried to do in tablets, but we're going to do tablets right, and that's where we're going to compete against netbooks. And I think you can argue very, very well that that's where the iPad fits into the overall marketing. Okay, Apple doesn't have a netbook, but here's this iPad device, which is going to do everything that you were going to do on the netbook. Yes, it doesn't have a real keyboard, but there's accessories, right, that you could use to add a real keyboard to it if you really have a lot of text to input in. And they then turned around and said, well, no, we're not going to make that small computer be a underpowered computer. What we're going to do is invent the Ultrabook, which really, when you think about it, that MacBook Air, and especially the second generation of the MacBook Air, really started getting into the super thin, powerful kind of machine. And the third generation really set the standard for Ultrabooks to the point that, and I monitor this pretty regular basis, the best Ultrabook out there still, and everybody who is willing to take all the considerations into play and isn't prejudiced against them, it's still the MacBook Air that is the number one, you know, Ultrabook available right now. Now these new ones coming down from CES, that may change things, right? And people may say, okay, this one here from Samsung or Sony or Toshiba is the new best Ultrabook. But for right now, they kind of set the standard and everybody else is trying to meet that. So they kind of came up with the small PC, but reinvent that. That's my new entry-level laptop for you, and then I got this tablet thing to compete against. And I think the idea here is not, well, what makes it a PC or does it make it a PC in terms of what you can do with it is not the right question to ask. the question to ask is, are the people who are buying the tablets purchasing the tablet because that's what they need? That's the functionality that they're happy with. It is becoming what they need from their personal computer. And I think you can make the argument from a SUSE standpoint that that's a big part of why they fell overall in sales, is because those netbook sales fell way off. And the netbook sales have fallen off because people are buying iPads or Android tablets instead of the netbook. And the tablet is becoming the personal computer of choice of the masses, just like their phone in their pocket is now the personal computer of choice for many people. They don't need a desktop anymore. They don't even need a laptop anymore. Where they're going to access their internet is on that mobile device that's in their pocket with them all the time. So for a lot of people, that phone is their, you know, personal computer. And for a whole big lot of people here this last year, that tablet purchase has become the personal computer that they would have spent money on a netbook or some other even more powerful computer before. But this does everything that they want. And I think it is at their peril that companies It is at their peril that companies decide to ignore that, because they're going to find themselves in a world of hurt in another year from now, and especially 2 years from now. I mean, to the point that they may be out of business. ASUS, if it stays at the rate that it's going and doesn't get something into the tablet race to try to catch up, may end up just being the CPU board manufacturing company that they were before, and they don't have anything that's a brand name that's out there in front of you as a ready-made product. They might just be bought out by somebody else, who knows, right? Just to have the, you know, manufacturing board capability for the CPUs and things like that. They could go back to that because that was what they originally were in the business to do, right? I'm not sure they want to do that, but I think that's where they go. So what is your personal computer? And this is all about consumers, right? The Consumer Electronics Show is about what are people doing. I think we lose track in the tech community that just because we aren't interested in that or we want something that does more than that, that we assume that everybody is like us. And we are by far the exception rather than the rule. And for the average person, what do they do with that personal computer? Go out, surf the web, check their email, check Facebook, play some games on Facebook. Do they really, really need a computer with a keyboard and a mouse and a quote-unquote real operating system to do that? I think not. And I think it's going to go more and more in that direction. So I think probably the analysts that are including tablets, whichever kind of tablet they are the ones that have it right. But then again, who would ask me about any of this kind of stuff anyway? Anyway, that was my thoughts on this whole kind of aspect of things, Norb, and I thought I would call in to at least express that to you. And of course, if you feel this is something that might be of interest to your listeners, feel free to do anything with this that you wish. I will talk to you later. Keep up the great work. And everybody be careful out there on the technological frontier, right? Bye now.
One more thing regarding this whole tablet thing. I believe it was M.G. Ziegler, who is a TechCrunch guy, I think. Anyway, he's a tech blogger, news kind of a person. Did some number crunching of the Apple revenues from last quarter and Microsoft in comparison. Just the iPad alone. Just the iPad, which didn't even exist at all 5 years ago and only became available, what, 4.5 years ago, something like that? Anyway, as of the quarter that we're talking about, just iPad revenues are more than Microsoft revenues for the same quarter. Think about that. I'm not sure about profits, but I may be wrong in what I'm remembering here, but I think that's what I heard. It's huge money, and that's why it's really important that all these manufacturers either figure this out and figure out something to do, or they're done. All right, let's just get some time to include in my commentary for this week. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right, Bruce, thank you so much for that. Yeah. You know, what do you think? I'd like to hear from you. We've heard from Bruce. What's your opinion? Do you have an opinion on this tablet, PC? What is it? Is it one? Is it not? I don't know. Your opinion? Or do you have an opinion on something else? Or do you have something you want to talk about? Don't have a place to really sit, you know, stand on a soapbox and say it? You can say it here. Let's keep it clean, you know, because we are family friendly and work safe. So, all right, if you like the show, please recommend us to a friend. I think we got a really good show here. And if you have any questions, comments, just go ahead and you can email me, Norbert@totallycooltech.com or tctpodcast@gmail.com. All of the show notes, links, and contact info are on the website at www.totallycooltech.com. So, Bruce, he sent something in. Why don't you send something in? I'd really love to have you on the show. Now, you can send in that audio comment to Norbert@totallycooltech.com or tctpodcast@gmail.com, or you can call the Totally Cool Tech Podcast listener line at area code 540-999-TECH. Yeah, remember, that's only short. That's about a three-minute window you got there to talk before it cuts you off. But if you want to go ahead and record it and then, you know, send it in an audio format, doesn't matter. Send it in. I can handle it. That'd be cool. I'd love to hear from you. And if you want, you can find me on Twitter. Just search for TCT Podcast. I'm also on Google+. You can find us there. We'd love to add you on there, so go check us out. All right, everybody, that's going to be it for today. I will see you next time.